This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for September 28th, episode 1530, brought to you by our listeners, the auditors. Thanks, guys. Good morning, Horse World.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate you being here. I decided to skip the opening music today because, I couldn't find it. It's right somewhere,
like, what happened?
And I was looking for it, and it has disappeared off of my list. So I don't know what happened. You want to sing it? You want to do?
You could have played the closing music, and we could have gone home early.
Perfect. Bye, everybody. It's been nice talking to you. Have a great day. Spay neuter geld. Hey, there's this guy in New Zealand who walked in to buy his lottery ticket, and then some jerk came in and cut in line in front of him. But he wasn't in a hurry that day, so he thought, well, I won't give this guy any crap cutting in line in front of me to buy my lottery to his lottery ticket. So he went back to work, and they drew the lottery numbers, and he looked, and he won $727,000.
Wow, I thought you were going to say the guy that cut did.
No, but that guy has to feel like a real jerk.
That's today's loser of the week.
Loser of the week right there. Now, you know, the numbers are picked at random, so whether that guy would have actually won or not, kind of like, you know, maybe.
Obviously, it's good karma.
Karma.
He had karma. Yep. Let the guy cut in front of him. And
Oh, get this. I love this, too. He also said he was at work when he discovered he'd won, according to New Zealand Herald. He was so shocked by the news. Now, get this. You would be so pissed you'd kill him. He was so shocked by the news that he didn't think to tell his wife about it until he got home later that evening.
Oh, my gosh.
Would you kill Chad or what?
You won the lottery and you told everybody on the planet and didn't tell me? Yeah, that's grounds for, I don't know, I'll take more of the money.
We appear to have, not only could I not find the opening music, we appear to have a problem with our call-in system, so that this could be an interesting morning.
Okay, sounds good. Well, I could tell everybody about this weekend. It's very exciting. If you guys are sitting around on Saturday and you have TVG, turn on TVG Saturday afternoon when Santa Anita starts running its card, because Beholder is going to be competing in the Zenyatta Stakes, and California Chrome will be competing in the Longines, in another one of the races. I don't have the name of it right in front of me, but they're both prepping for the Breeders' Cup Classic. They're not running against each other in this race, but you could at least see both of them go. So it should be fun. And if you're around Santa Anita, that certainly sounds like a great reason to go over there. So that's going to be happening Saturday. And Breeders' Cup is just coming right up. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It's what? 3-4 weeks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the, I'm going to see what the exact dates are, but it's usually Halloween weekend because November 4th and 5th. It's a little later.
Well, let's do our daily winnies. That music I do have. Well, my Daily Winnie's a two-parter. One goes out to Sonia Wilkie, who posted on our Facebook page. She did a nice post in there, but she said, "Hello, Horses in the Morning. I listen to your podcast from both the UK and Australia." I was wondering if she did that at the same time, or maybe she goes back and forth. I'm kind of thinking maybe she goes back and forth, because it'd be difficult to do it at the same time. She listens from both places, and she's probably our only bi-country listener.
Somebody's got to do it.
That's right.
Thanks for carting us around the world. You make us sound like world travelers, but we're not.
Yeah, but you are. So thanks so much. And I wanted to acknowledge our new auditors. We have several of them since I mentioned them on the air last. We have Karen Lisa Brooks, Marissa Kreidler, April Can't say your last name, Chantel Williams, the Fish Nerd Nation. And I happen to know who they are. Fish Nerd Nation does a podcast about fishing. And
they're auditors of our show?
Yeah, they became auditors of our show. I think somebody up there also rides horses. So good on you guys up there at Fish Nerd Nation. And April Shapiro also is our newest auditor. So thank you so much for becoming auditors. We really appreciate all of you.
My daily Winnie goes out, you know, excuse me, my husband travels a lot and he comes and goes and comes and goes. And what happens is this is really weird because go with me here. He'll set gopher traps. You guys know the major problems that I've had with gophers in my life here on this farm. And my husband will set a gopher trap and then not remember to check it before he leaves. And then he leaves town. And then he gets mad at me because he comes home and the gopher has been dead in the hole for like 4 days. And then he has to clean out the trap and it's a disgusting mess. So let me send you over to my daily Winnie. Glenn, are you listening?
Yes, I am right here.
Just making sure because my daily Winnie goes out to the dear angel, sweet baby coyote who comes in every morning and cleans out my gopher traps. Literally, I have seen him now. He grabs the trap out of the hole, pulls it up out of the hole, flips it over, and eats the dead gopher out of the trap, licking it clean, and leaves it there and moves about his business.
It's so, like fast food. It's his version of McDonald's.
Exactly. I'm not excited that I'm attracting coyotes to my property.
You have to clean up the leftovers so they take care of the whole thing.
The whole thing. It's happened now 2 mornings in a row. And I'm just happy that I don't have to do it. And Chad's happy that he's not pilling up, you know, 4 days worth of dead carcass out of the ground. It's really disgusting. I can't even think about it a lot too early. But anyway, yes. Yeah, so thank you, Mr. Coyote, for coming over here and doing a dirty job. You're like the Mike Rowe of coyotes.
Thank you. That's funny. It's funny that he figured out, well, he could smell them and he just knew there was a way to get them out of there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hilarious. And we have friends that are like, yeah, usually they just eat half of them out of it. It's really gross. And I was like, this dude cleans it out. I mean, there's not a, like, he licks it clean. Oh, it's so disgusting. But yet,
it's nature. Yeah, it's nature. And you don't have to deal with it, even better.
Exactly. It's just the trap is sitting out there. He's like, here you go. See you tomorrow. Get you another one.
That's funny. All right.
Like, my stomach hurts even talking about it. It's so gross. Sorry, guys.
Today on the show, we have Allie coming up. I'm not sure. Coming up, who is going to tell us about a new app that he's put together. It's called the Jump Off App.
I like to think his name is Ali Fathali.
It could be, actually.
Well, I like that.
Jennifer, find out how we actually say his name so we're not totally embarrassed like
you. Ali Fathali.
And then we have Dr. Brian Waldrich back. Dr. B is back for the Worst Health Report. He's doing the second in a 3-part series on joint anatomy. And then Victoria's back. It's been a while. She's been so busy, but now she's coming back today on the show. And we're going to talk about all things Europe. And, you know, there's nothing going on over there because they don't have any world champions or anything. So.
Well, I've got to talk to her about Charlotte at the Central Park Horse Show because I don't think we covered enough. We briefly mentioned that Charlotte hopped on Frederick the Great, the most handsome horse in the world, who, again, I disagree with wholeheartedly that he's the most handsome horse in the world until I see a picture of him. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. He is the most handsome horse in the world. Anyway, so she rode him, but we haven't talked about her and Vallegro and what they did after their freestyle demonstration.
This I don't even know that.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Stick around.
Cool. Very good. And I want to remind everybody at the top of the show that Friday's a big day here at Horses in the Morning and the Horse Radio Network. We're having a party. That's right. We are having a party. We have one guest scheduled on Friday, a really big guest. And then at from 9:30 to 10:30, we are going to take your calls. We want to hear from all our listeners on Friday. Give us a call at 435-272-1997. It's also on the website at horsesinthemorning.com, and we'll post it on Facebook. We want to hear from you because it not only is it International Podcast Day on Friday, it's our 5,000th episode on the Horse Radio Network. That there are not many podcast networks that have hit 5,000 episodes and have done it without ever missing an episode of any of them. I mean, we've been religious about that over the last 8 years. As Jamie knows. You know, we have, I counted this morning, we have 27 hosts on the Horse Radio Network, 32 sponsors, a multitude of media partners that we work with, and regular guests like Victoria on the show, like Leslie, like all the health people that come on a regular basis, and all our contributors and things. We have thousands of listeners around the world, and it is just, and our auditors, of course, about 160 of those now, and it is just a pleasure to be here with you guys every day, and we're going to celebrate that on Friday, but we want to hear from you. Give us a call. Talk to us for a few minutes. We just want to thank you for listening between 9:30, 10:30 Eastern Time on Friday, 435-272-1997. Now, we know some of you actually have jobs and actually work for a living to try and pay for your horses. So if you can't call in because you're at work on Friday, just leave us a voicemail before Thursday night. Anytime before Thursday night, 859-474-0261. That's 859-474-0261. So give us a call and...
You might have said this. Can they leave voicemails?
Yeah, that's the voicemail line. 859-474-0261 is the voicemail line. Leave it before Thursday night so we have time to get them ready, and we will play all the voicemails. Jamie and I and Jennifer have committed to staying here as long as it takes to get through your calls on Friday morning. So if we have to go a little
Glenn
long...
Glenn has volunteered me
that's
to
right.
commit
I
to
did.
Stay extra on
I
this
did.
Show.
I did. I said, look, you owe it to your fans. So if, you know, we might only get one call and you'll be out early. You know,
true.
Think about it.
True.
It could
but I don't want that to happen. I want to stick around. I want to have so many calls that we can't leave. So
we'll have 10 lines open.
We just want to hear from you. 5,000 episodes. That's crazy. I'm even proud of that. And I don't get excited about much that doesn't have to do with a horse. So this is cool.
It is cool. And, you know, I don't think people understand how big that is in the podcasting world. The Horse Radio Network has really held up high. You know, we're kind of the ones that everybody strives to be like. Not only 5,000 episodes, but the number of sponsors and support we have from companies and sponsors is incredible in the podcasting world.
Our auditors are insane. I mean, my gosh, thank you, guys.
They are insanely addicted. And we
let's move on. Let's talk about how awesome we are on Friday.
All right, let's do that. But we want you to call. Give us a call on Friday for sure. All right, now we have our first guest, and our first guest coming up, just like the boxer. Okay, great. So we have Ali coming on the line right now to talk about a new app. He's a fellow horse husband. It's good to talk to you, Ali. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for joining us today. How do you say your last name?
My last name is Fatali, Ali Fatali.
Oh, that's just like a poem should
I
be written
it.
About that.
Told
I mean, it's poetic.
I was in, I had a lot of interesting comments when I was in high school from all the teachers and stuff like that.
Oh, I bet you had a lot of nicknames too, didn't you? Unfortunately.
I did. Ali Fatali with hot sauce was one of them, definitely. They said I sounded like a Mexican dish.
I'm getting hungry.
Well, now, are you an app designer, or was this your first dive into the pool?
No. Actually, I've been working many years in application development and specifically training apps for large companies, specifically in like the healthcare world and medical communication world and stuff. And being a horse husband and attending many a horse shows with my wife, who's the equestrian in the family, I got to see a lot of different things in the equestrian world that kind of opened my eyes to, hey, listen, there's ways of being able to make efficient trainings, and maybe we can help out the riders with different ways of exposing them to different technologies that are out there to maybe help them learn and memorize courses or do other things with their horses and stuff like that. And so this was a venture maybe about 2 years ago when I was at a horse show with my wife, and I literally sitting in the stands watching people walking up to the courses where they post them up on the walls, and you know, people snapping pictures and sitting down and literally tracing the course with their fingers on a phone, and it's just automatically just, you know, the light bulb went on, and I was like, holy cow, there's an app here. And you know, it was just it was almost a little game that I had created at first, not to make it a business or anything like that. And it became kind of like a little tool that all my wife's friends kind of used in the industry, just to help themselves out. My wife used it exclusively just to help her out. And then that kind of rolled into, you know, developing it as a mainstream kind of application for people to use. And, then we found out what we could do with the application for different types of disciplines within the horse industry. And that's kind of where Jump Off came into fruition.
You know, that's how the Horse Radio Network started. I'm a horse husband. My wife was the horse person. So, you know, I kind of was the same way. It's like, well, if I'm going to be in this, I might as well, you know, I might as well dive in the deep end too. So that's kind of how it all started. So now tell me, okay, it's called the Jump Off app. How does it work? I'm at a horse show and I'm about ready. It's my turn to get, you know, to check out my course that's coming up. What do I do?
So you have the app. You have the app on hand in your phone, and you can walk up right up to where they post the course and you can snap a picture of the course.
Okay.
And that'll automatically load the course into your phone. And at that point, you can actually interact with the course and you can draw on it. You can mark where the jumps are at and the direction of the jumps. You can mark them as combination jumps, so the A, B, and C. And then the idea really is that once you have the course in your phone, you can now use it to memorize things. So you can hide the jumps, you can hide the jump rotation, or the direction rather, and then you can also hide the numbers. So therein you get this ability of being able to actually memorize the course, and you don't have to sit around where they post the course, where it's a really crowded area and people are really trying to jockey, you know, no pun intended, for position to be able to see where the course is at. You can actually go back into the stands and...
I was going to say, I don't think I've ever been more mad at humans than when you're staring at that course map right in front of it, because everybody like, get out of my way. You just stepped in front of me. I'm trying to read this. Move over. Yeah, I understand that.
So now let me get the technology here quick. Let me just, before we move on. So I take a picture and you from that picture, your app actually converts that into the graphic.
Well, that'll take the picture and it'll load it up into the interface of the application. From there, you can actually literally trace over the course.
Okay.
But then on top of that, you can actually place jumps on top of where the existing images of the jumps are in the course. So therefore, you're almost like literally tracing the jump out, the course out onto the phone.
Okay.
So then at that point, I can actually hide the existing image and I have this course that I've created with all the jump numbers on there and all the rotations.
So it's just like John Madden does on NFL football, right? He can draws on the screen. Oh, yeah, okay. I get that.
So consider it like chalk talk for the equestrian industry, for jumpers and hunters and eventers. So basically beyond that, you have this course in there and you're able to trace it out. You can go over many times. Once you have your jumps in there and the combinations and the jump order, the app now remembers that order, so you can trace your fingers through, and if you miss a jump, it'll tell you you got the wrong order of jumps in or you're not doing this correctly. It's great for trainers because trainers can actually, especially if you're in the jumper world, trainers can actually talk to you a little bit about what direction you can take, what corners you can cut for time and everything like that. Because in jumpers, there's everything about speed and going through the course in a certain amount of time and everything like that. So there's a little bit of like trainer-rider discussion that can happen right on the phone or the iPad. And then beyond that, this is the cooler feature that we just recently added with Jump Off Pro is now you've looked at this application in 2D, so you're kind of looking top down on a course. Now I thought to myself, how amazing would it be to actually give somebody an immersive experience and let them ride in three dimensions in the course after they've actually memorized and learned it? So that's the visualization feature that we just recently added to the app. So once you memorize that course and you rode through it clean, you can tap a button that says visualize and boom, you're actually in the 3D course. You're on your horse. You've got the jumps. You've got the jump types now too. So you can actually select whether it's an oxer or a vertical or a water jump. And now you're really just riding the course on a horse. So I thought, okay, that's really cool. Now we're riding a horse on a course and we can visualize in 3D. And I said, wow, what's another thing that maybe riders might have trouble with when they're riding a course? And I realized it's all about spotting the next jump, right? How can you turn your head and look at the next jump while you're riding on your horse? Because that's a big thing. So I added a little bit of the VR 360 technology that's really hot right now, where using your phone and the built-in accelerometer and compass that are built into your phone, you can actually use your phone to simulate like you're turning your head while you're on a horse. So you hold the phone up, you're riding on your horse, you can turn and spot jump number two, and as you're going over jump number one, you actually can simulate, wow, there's jump number two, I have it spotted, I'm headed towards that jump. So that kind of gives a little bit more flexibility as far as training is concerned, because you're not just visualizing, you're actually interacting with the course, and you haven't even ridden the course yet. This is all part of your training and getting yourself and your skills sharp for the actual competition.
That's pretty incredible technology to be able to do that and all on a phone. That is pretty neat. Now, you know, there is a limited time by the time you go look at your course and everything. So are most people using all of that or are they just taking the pictures and doing it that way?
Well, we found that it's beyond just the competition. So yeah, you have about an hour or so, or maybe half an hour to kind of get the course learned and everything like that. So you don't have to necessarily use the visualization and the 3D VR technology while you're at competition. We kind of felt that we wanted to add these features in there for the riders that maybe are back at the barn training with their trainer, just learning how to spot jumps. Or, I mean, it goes even beyond that where, you know, even amateur or junior riders that are a little bit nervous about memorizing courses, they can actually use this app as like a homework assignment where their trainer would share a bunch of courses with them and they can memorize these courses and then visualize them and get their skills sharp. So the idea behind Jump Off, and that's why we use the tagline, practice makes perfect. It's not so much about what you do at the horse show. It's practicing the skills of memorizing courses.
And so when Jamie screws up and does them out of order, then she can go back later and see what she did wrong.
Exactly. And I mean,
he knows you. He knows you, Jamie. He knows you. He designed this specifically for you.
I'm sorry to jump in there, but like, because really, I'm okay with memorizing show jumping courses, Glenn, but it's the damn cross country course I have the problem with. So, is there an option? Are you thinking of later adding a cross country portion so you can grab eventers as well?
Of course. In the pipeline right now is the cross-country version, and we're working on also creating a dressage version as well for memorizing those patterns.
That's the worst one I'm at, so that'd be great. If you could just ride my dressage test for me,
Dressage is a whole nother world, I have to admit, and you do need a special type of skill and memorization to be able to do dressage.
And Ali has to stay awake long enough to be able to write the code to make that dressage test happen. And that's another issue, because he is a horse husband, and we all know how we feel about dressage. So, I mean, there's that.
Yeah, that'll never happen. He'll get bored. He'll fall asleep.
He'll be bored. He will go, oh, Jesus, just way too many movements in dressage. But, you know, cross country, there's only 30 jumps. So you could do that with cross country. And there's usually a map, but the map is usually so tiny you can barely see where you're going anyway.
And some of us don't follow paper maps very well.
Very well. No.
Ali, it sounds like you are a very sweet, motivated, kind husband, and that your wife is very lucky to have found you. I'll just say that now.
Thank you so much. And Jamie, I really appreciate you saying that, because my wife is sitting right next to me right now.
Yep.
We're here to help. We're here to help.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Where can people find it? Is it what's it cost? Where can they find it? What's the whole story?
All right. So we're on both platforms, Android and iPhone, which is iOS. So you can find us. The best way to actually get into the application is just to go to jumpoffapp.com, and I have links to both the Android version and the iTunes store, so people can go and download it. The app right now is $3.99. Next month, we're going to be running a promotion where you're going to be able to get the application for half off. So I would suggest that people go visit facebook.com/jumpoffapp, and there you'll get all the announcements as far as what's going on with the new update that's going to be coming out next month, and the discount that we're going to be running for about a month or so.
All right, very good. Jumpoffapp.com. Check it out today. Thanks, Ali. We appreciate you joining us.
Ali, you can send me
Thank you so much for having me.
You can send me that check in a little bit. You know, I'll give you my address and you can just send it on over. You won't tell her.
Honestly, I should send you guys a cake or something. 5,000 episodes. Congratulations. that's super popular world. So,
yeah.
Kudos to you guys.
Well, thanks a lot, Ali.
We appreciate it.
Yeah, we do like cake, by the way. Yes.
Jennifer chimes in. I love cake. Ali, thanks for joining us. Tell your wife you said hi.
Will do. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Jennifer is like, that's so creepy. She just hasn't said a word the entire show. And she's like, I love cake. That's awesome.
That's a super smart guy to be able to take that course then that you plug in, and then to have it in the app that you're actually riding the course. And I see a picture here. You're on the horse. You see the horse's head. And you ride around jumping the whole course.
That's insane. It's too big for my brain.
And then the whole turn the phone like you would turn your head technology, that's pretty cool too.
You know which way like to land and look right.
And look.
Land and look.
Yeah. Isn't that hard to learn too? It takes a long time, I think, before that becomes muscle memory, doesn't it?
Well, I think it's more valuable in the training aspect, you know, because usually I'm down at the show ring. Now, granted, I'm eventing, so I kind of know my ride time. So I'm not kind of waiting around as much as hunters and jumpers are, but I know my ride time, and I gotta go and I gotta get on my thing, and I don't have time to sit on my horse. But just as a training tool later on is where I think
I can see it instantly, especially for the jumpers, because they do. I mean, sometimes they're waiting for 30 horses before them in a class, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
So they're sitting there on their horse for a long time. But I can see it there with they take the quick picture and then they can use their finger to draw it. You know, and so you do that over and over again, you kind of get it in your mind if you're actually taking your finger and drawing on the app and it has a line that follows it. I can see that, you know, I really can see that instantly as being a good thing. Plus, you don't have the 45 people standing around the board, you know. So.
Exactly. Get out of my way. I'm so mad. I mean, I showed hunters forever. And, you know, I don't know why it was so hard for me to remember inside, outside, outside, inside as the line. But I would be like, move! You just stepped in front of me. And I was like, you know, 14. So really had some temper. And everybody else did too. So this is great.
Well, let's...
Back in the day when we had to talk on phones that were attached to walls.
That's right. With a cord that was never long enough.
I'm like my mother. We didn't have TV. We listened to a radio. I'm like, well, we had to stand next to a wall and talk on the phone.
Were you allowed to have a phone in your room?
Oh, not until I was 16.
Yeah.
And I still never had a TV in my room. And so because I wasn't allowed to have a TV in my room, I still don't have a TV in my room.
Now, when you had the phone in your room, was it your own extension or was it your own phone number or were you an extension on the other?
Oh, it was, we all shared the same number. And
so they could pick up and listen.
Yes, I would hear my brother pick up the phone. You hear the click, click. I'm like, Josh, get off the phone. And he's like, I wouldn't use it. I'm like, it's my turn. He's like, you've been on it for 20 minutes. And like, well.
Those were the days.
My turn to get on the phone. You had your chance.
We had four boys in my family, all with girlfriends, you know, so that was always a constant battle too. Yeah, I get
it. And then you'd be like on a, I started like having a three-way call, and then you're three-way calling with somebody, and then they three-way somebody else, and then they three-way somebody else, and then you have like 15 people on the phone. You think it's so cool, except for all you keep doing is going, hey, who's still there? George, are you there? Marie, are you still there? Jessica? Yeah. Okay.
Wait, when we start over. First got, I remember this when I was a little kid. We still had a party line for a long time till I was like 10.
Okay, what is that?
Okay, so they didn't have enough phone wires in town, so you all there would be four houses that would be on one line.
Oh my gosh.
And the way it would work is if you were trying to call us, like at our phone number, we'd have our own phone number, but it would ring like 1, 2, 3. It would go ring, ring, ring. And that meant it was for us. If it was one ring, it was for the neighbor. Two rings, it was for a different neighbor. So you would have to hear your ring and then go pick up. But then if some or your neighbor wanted to use the phone, you would actually hear them picking up, just like it was an extension. You would hear them picking up, and our one neighbor was a nosy, nosy woman. She had a beehive hairdo that stood up about 12 feet, and she would listen to, you would hear her pick up, and you would know she's listening to your whole phone call every time.
Oh my gosh! Yes.
My mom got so sick, her name was Betty. My mom got so sick of it one time, she said, Betty, you hang up, or I'm coming over there. And
I know where you live.
And everybody knew it was Betty. So yeah, that was a party line days. And then they went away. Party lines finally went away. We all had our own phone line. Yeah.
And if your next door neighbor was really, really gabby, you could never use your phone.
You could never use your phone. You pick it up and they'd be there. They'd be on the phone all day. Yeah.
Oh yeah. And there's some, where were you? Where'd you grow up? Pennsylvania?
Little town in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Oh yeah. There's some Pennsylvania women who just sat on the phone all day. I know that's what I would have done. Yeah, and then I remember when we went to Disney World when I was, 14, you know, older, not just like 6 years old. I went to Disney World as an older person, and I remember going to Tomorrowland. And in the Tomorrowland, there was, shows you what Walt Disney had ahead of him. But you were like on a moving walkway, and you're going, and there's scenes of people doing things. And there was a woman who was talking on a phone, which was on a wall that had a TV monitor. And I always thought, my God. Gosh, wouldn't that be crazy if you could talk to somebody on the phone and see them at the same time? FaceTime. Hello.
Yep.
That guy was way ahead of him. Yep. He was such a visionary and all his people. Crazy.
All right. Let's take a break for Ovation. Then we're coming back. We have Dr. Brian Waldridge, Dr. B, with us from Kentucky. He's the second part of the three-part series on joint anatomy. And then Victoria's going to be here. A lot more show for you coming up in just a minute.
Horse people know that they can count on Ovation's value, quality, and style when it comes to hard-wearing schooling attire, affordable show gear for horse and rider, or top-of-the-line equipment for riders at every level. From breeches to bridle work, saddles to stock ties, helmets to half chaps, Ovation is the premier brand of riding apparel and equipment for you and your horse in the United States, outfitting riders at every level from head to toe. Ask for Ovation brand riding helmets, breeches, and footwear at your local tack store, or go online to ovationriding.com and see the fantastic variety of quality, fashion-forward, affordable products from Ovation. ovationriding.com. It's time for the Horses in the Morning Horse Health Report. when our intrepid hosts, together with an unlucky member of the equine veterinary trade, attempt to inform, enlighten, or terrify horse owners everywhere into funding a Kickstarter campaign to mass-produce Kevlar-coated, bubble-wrap-lined equine products. And I'm so happy to welcome back to the show Dr. B. And when it comes to hot topics for horse people, horses' joints are right up there. And Dr. Brian Waldridge, who is here today, he's also known as Dr. B on Dr. B's Bluegrass on Facebook. He's going to give us the basics on joint inflammation today. So welcome to the show, Dr. B.
Oh, thanks. It's always wonderful to be here. You guys are great.
So whenever it comes to joint inflammation, give us the is inflammation, or is it more complex than that? I'm guessing it's going to be the latter.
Well, no, it's pretty much the same. I mean, inflammation as a whole is going to be redness, swelling, loss of function, pain, and one more sign I can't think of.
There are five cardinal. Is there heat in there?
Heat. There we go. Okay. I mean, my pathology professors would be very disappointed in me. they'd regret all those B's I got. So those five things. So they're always the sign. So, you know, that can involve a joint. And you'll involve anything like a hoof abscess. And the mechanisms are all pretty close to the same. And it really comes down to cellular damage. So something happens and damages that cell. And it's kind of a cool thing how inflammation works. So the cell gets damaged, and in the cell membrane, there are the phospholipids that you'll hear about, like using them, that I'm sure we'll talk about later on, about using like omega-3 fatty acids. And the cell will take those fatty acids in its cell membrane and actually run that through a cycle. It ends up producing prostaglandins, and those prostaglandin substances are what we're trying to block with drugs like butenbanamine, and then those trigger the pain and swelling and all those other signs that we see. So really how we get there and what's produced is pretty similar no matter where we're at in the body.
So if a horse kicks the fence and cuts his hock and his hock puffs up, and another horse goes out and wins himself a stakes race and really overdoes it, and his fetlock swells up, irritating a chip that he had back as a two-year-old, that swelling that we've got going on in those two different horses is essentially the same thing.
Essentially the same. You know, the horse that has a chip, you've got an inciting cause. So that's sort of a mechanical thing that's going to go in there and irritate the cartilage potentially and irritate the joint lining. But really the same cellular processes, it's going to be pretty close because we're going to use a lot of the same drugs to treat both. And our drugs are going to target those enzymes that end up producing those inflammatory substances.
So as horse owners, we get excited about the heat and the swelling part. And the lameness, too, if it's coming along with that. So, but oftentimes, especially when it comes to joints, we'll see a little bit of heat and a little bit of swelling, but not necessarily a whole lot of lameness.
Right.
When it comes to inflammation, which comes first? The heat, the inflammation, or the lameness?
Probably the lameness will come last because we'll have to get the loss of function and the swelling and the pain to get the lameness. But potentially any of them could come, you know, in any order. Because, you know, even like a bee sting, it may not make us go lame, but we'll show the other things, but we still get inflammation. So I think it depends on where it occurs and the degree of damage to the adjoining structures.
Mm-hmm. Now, we get excited about heat and inflammation and swelling. Oh my goodness, there's something wrong with my horse. If there is inflammation around, near, next to a joint, is it always bad, or is in some cases inflammation an okay thing?
Well, it can be okay because one of the reasons we get that is to tell us, well, this hurts, don't do it, to make us rest it. Yeah, and one of the other things that happens with inflammation is generally the blood vessels, so that's where the redness comes from, the blood vessels tend to open up, which brings in increased blood flow to help us heal things. So, you know, inflammation is not a bad thing because it's going to at least begin or stimulate the reparative process. And, you know, some of those prostaglandins and all that are formed have beneficial effects, like opening up the blood vessels to bring in repair to the tissues. So
open up the interstate, everybody coming in. There you go. Yep.
Yeah, that's right. It brings them all in. You know, nutrients come in, blood flow, more oxygen, helps everything get going again.
So whenever we have a joint that is inflamed and there is heat present, horsemen all want to put ice on there. Now, what is the ice doing? How does it manage to get rid of the inflammation? Why does that work?
Well, one neat thing, and a lot of this has been shown with, and I'm sure everybody's kind of read about when horses are, now we found out if a horse starts to founder, that putting them in the ice boots really helps. And those enzymes that help, that cause those inflammatory mediators, like those things like prostaglandins cause the cause pain and swelling, those enzymes don't work when they get cold. So the ice helps to reduce or turn off those enzymes, and that helps to reduce inflammation. But also ice, you know, think about when you go outside when it's cold, you know, you get less blood flow. That's why your fingers get cold. So it constricts the blood vessels too. So that'll reduce the swelling. But probably the main effect it has is to slow or turn off those enzymes that are going to end up making inflammatory mediators to kind of keep the cycle going.
Aha. So this is why whenever you have a new injury, you just twisted your ankle or your horse just kicked the fence with his hind leg, you put that ice on early on. You don't do it 3 days later. You do it right away because you want to limit those inflammatory mediators.
Right, right. You're gonna
I got the four-syllable word. Yeah. Yay, me!
Yeah, so there you go. That's how it works. And, you know, it's well, so we're learning more and more on that with laminitis, but that's probably why ice works better early in an injury.
Interesting. So inflammation is an important part of the healing process because it gets things kick-started, but too much inflammation is bad.
Right.
Okay, I've got that part. You hear sometimes about different omega fatty acids encouraging or discouraging inflammation, and this would also include inflammation in joints. Is there a lot of scientific data to back that up, or is that at this point a best guess?
No, there's some good studies out there and good evidence for it. And so, you know, it comes down to when you read about omega-3s. So what that means is, and I didn't do very good in chemistry, but I took it 3 times, so it helped me learn it. But if you look at a fatty acid, omega into the fatty acid 3, so the third space from the end, there's a double bond in there from organic chemistry. And so if they're omega 6, that means the double bond's 6 from the end. But what that ends up being important to the cell is, remember, the cell gets damaged, it's going to take its fatty acids, they're going to go through a big, long process, and in the end, they're going to make the inflammatory mediators that cause inflammation. So if we supplement with omega-3 fatty acids, and it takes about a month to build those up in the cellular, because the cell membranes turn over, and it takes about a month to build them up after supplementation with omega-3s. If the cell grabs an omega-3 fatty acid, they'll still go through those same steps, but in the end, the products that are made cause less inflammation than if we started out with an omega-6 fatty acid. So that's where omega-3s help us. They tend to reduce inflammation and have an anti-inflammatory effect. You know, there's really not much that if you give omega-6s to horses that you're going to promote inflammation. It's just what ends up being the end product between the two. If you use the omega-3, then they're less inflammatory overall. So there's good evidence for that, and both in humans and in horses, and, you know, some really neat studies with you know, lameness, where they showed that they could decrease lameness, and some really cool stuff for the last few years looking at things like inflammatory airway disease in horses. If we our horses to get heaves, that if we give them omega-3 fatty acids, we can improve their clinical signs and have less severe signs of airway disease.
That's very interesting. Yeah. So there's inflammation, not necessarily a bad thing. Control it so there's not too much. Ice is your friend. Are there circumstances under which your horse might have swelling in around a joint where don't put ice on it until you call the vet first? Just call the vet right now because this is an emergency.
Yeah, I think any time there's severe lameness, you know, that's a we don't want to miss. We don't want to miss a fracture. Because if there is a fracture and we go and make that horse move around a lot, or say try and jog the horse and see if let's see if he's really lame, then there's potential you could displace the fracture. You know, the fracture may still be in the correct alignment, but still broken. But if we go make the horse move around a lot, that fracture may displace, go somewhere else, and we don't want to do that. So I think, you know, any type of three-legged lameness is a worry, because we'll make sure we don't miss a fracture. I think severe joint distension would be another time, and usually a horse has severe joint distension, they're going to be severely lame.
So now, what is joint distension?
Oh, sorry, fluid in the joint.
So there we go.
A lot of fluid in the joint.
Oh, so it's giant, puffed up like a football.
Right.
That's
bad. Usually that joint capsule is distended, and that causes a lot of pain to the horse. So if there's severe swelling, then you got to worry. You know, maybe there also is a fracture that's causing that. You know, occasionally, you may see a real bad injury, and that's blood in the joint. So I think when you see that, it's probably a good idea. If there's a lot of swelling and severe reluctance to bear weight, you know, to me, those would be the two biggest times that we definitely need to give the vet a call.
Now, if your horse has joint swelling associated with a recent, in the past 14 days, injury to his tissue, cut, scrape, puncture, then that's a good time. You better call your vet right now.
Right, because you worry about with those that some injuries can be pretty innocent looking at the start, but have a tiny puncture, and as long and the joint can have a get punctured and get bacteria put into that joint. As long as that joint's open, generally that horse isn't very lame. But if that joint becomes infected, seals itself up, then it begins to build up fluid, that's when we'll see the horse get pretty severely lame. So to me, if there's kind of an injury and the horse is doing okay, and then, you know, within a few days later, now he's reluctant to bear weight and maybe very distended on that joint, that's where you really worry about a joint infection, because it's pretty typical of most of those histories that the horse won't go lame until the joint seals up.
Aha. So this, and this, I have one final question, because once again, I'm keeping you talking way too long. This question probably should have come up in our last tip when we were talking about how the joints are made. When a joint capsule is damaged and the joint fluid escapes, is that joint capsule permanently leaky, or does it seal itself back up? I'm just curious.
No, it'll seal itself up, because, you know, like arthroscopy, when we do arthroscopy, we're going to poke a hole into that joint capsule to go in there and pull that chip or trim up cartilage and all. So it'll heal itself back up, and usually they don't actually seal up the joint capsule itself. They're just going to close up the tissues around the joint capsule. So, no, it'll go ahead and heal itself on up. And, you know, occasionally you see weird things like a joint capsule hernia, where it's just a little pocket that comes off, but it'll heal itself back on up, especially if it's healthy. It'll go ahead and seal itself.
There we go. Well, thank you very much, Dr. B. For folks who just love listening to what you have to say about horse health and want to follow along on your adventures there in the Lexington, Kentucky area, where could they find you?
I'm on Dr. B's Bluegrass, and everybody check it out. Hopefully you'll see what kind of fun we get to have.
All righty. Thanks again, and we'll see you again soon.
Well, thank you, Jennifer, for putting that together in this week's Horse Health Report. And that was very interesting. I learned things I didn't know there. So that was cool. Good job. He's a nice guy. Super nice guy. Dr. B, look him up on Facebook. Well, we are going to be going to Victoria here in a little bit. But I think, do I hear a child?
Yes, you do.
Is he sick?
He still has his cold.
Nothing worse than a sick child. That's always fun. That's always fun. Well, how about we talk a little bit about studies show in September?
All right.
I have a list for you today. It's Crappy List Wednesday, so why not? We have not done our studies show in September. This is the point of the show where I look up all of the studies show on, just go to Google and I put in studies show for the last month, and we see what we've been wasting our money on as a collective society studying that we could have told you. You know, We could have told you anyway, and you could have given us $1 million. All right, study show.
It never works like that, does it?
No, it never does. We've been doing this for years, and nobody's ever given us $1 million to do. Just save them time. And you know what? We would have the study done in 10 seconds. We know the answer already. Surveys show that consumers are happier with their personal computers than their iPods or laptops.
What now? Say that again. I missed it because of the coughing.
No, well, that's exactly right. I missed. I didn't have the brain power to look at the study and actually see what it meant. So that was the point. It doesn't. Okay. Yeah, we don't know what it means. Surveys show parents are paying more for chores. Now, I didn't get paid for chores. We just had to do chores. Like, mom didn't say, we're going to give you $10 a week to do the dishes. That didn't happen. No.
First of all, that would be paying more. I don't know. Jennifer, did you get paid for chores?
I guess Jennifer.
She's not here. I got an allowance, but like, it was never consistent. It was like, we're going to give you guys $5 a week if you do this, you know, and here's your thing. And then, of course, like they would forget and we'd never do the work. And then we'd ask for the money and they go, well, you didn't do the work. We were a very disorganized household.
Yeah, we always had to do the dishes at night and then we each had a chore as far as house cleaning, one dusting, one sweeping.
Oh my God, that's a reason to have more kids. Gee.
That was what we had to do. Four boys and we did all that. Yep. Surveys show link between jail inmates and mental illness.
Shocker.
Yeah.
I've seen Orange is the New Black. They're all crazy.
Yeah, that's right. I think we could have done that study. Saved in $1 million. Surveys show Australians are getting lonelier.
Yeah, there's actually, I've kind of heard about that, and there's some pretty sad stuff going on in Australia right now, so we'll move on.
Well, all I can say to that is join us every day. We'll help. We're here to help.
We love our Australian listeners.
That's
we
right.
Love you guys.
We're your friends. You don't have to be lonely anymore. Surveys show underage drinking and smoking continue dramatic decline, which I thought was
interesting. That's good.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
I guess
with
that's
you
fine.
Having a child coming up. Survey shows 1 in 5 Israelis suffer from food insecurity. I have no idea what that was.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know either. Surveys show universities to raise... Oh, this is a great one. You're going to love this one. Surveys show universities to raise fees next year. Don't they raise fees every year? Has there ever been a university not raise fees every year?
Every year.
No. So we could have saved a lot of money on the survey. It just happens every year.
It's like the student of mine... Who asked for, she's a hired student and she asked for a raise, but I haven't raised my prices. And she's like, she just teaches like 1 or 2 lessons a week. And instead of being inappropriate, hey, I think we should discuss you raising your prices and maybe paying us more. She's of that generation where they want $15 an hour to flip burgers. She's like, can I get a bump in my pay? And just like the universities, they raise their prices every year. So maybe they pay their employees more every year, but that's not how it works on my farm, sister. Not here. Sorry, I was venting.
That's okay.
How do you ask your boss for a raise and go, hey, can I get like a bump in my pay? Huh? Kidding me?
You do it all the time in the show.
I do. I say to you very disrespectfully, give me some more money or
that's
I'm walking.
Right. And you never have. And I've never given you more money. So we're even.
No. We literally make the same amount from day one. And we're right. At 5,000 episodes, Glenn. Yeah. It's time to talk.
Well, the one thing we haven't quite figured out is how to actually make money doing this. That's the one thing we haven't quite figured out.
I need a bump, though.
Surveys show the university one would have been actually been a headline if it said surveys show universities will not raise fees this year.
Yeah,
that
would have right?
been a, that
oh
would have been
God,
a headline.
That'd be crazy.
Okay, now this is another one. This is like the dullest moment ever. Surveys show home prices are the number one worry for house hunters.
You mean you're not worried about rogue killer bees that swarming houses that you're looking at. It's the price. Shocker.
Yeah. You know what? When we go house shopping, we don't look at the price. We don't care about the price. We just take it.
Just, I want this one. That's how much right. is that? I don't care.
Survey show. This is the funniest one of the day. Ugly fruit movement has a challenge.
What?
There's this whole new thing. I actually had to read this one because it was so ridiculous. There's this thing that you should be eating ugly fruit. There's a certain amount of fruits that are not very common that are ugly. They're just really ugly to look at. And apparently their ugliness has a real barrier to people trying them. So,
I think I know what you're talking about. Like the fruit, like the carrots that may have two arms and they're not just perfect little striped carrots. They're crooked or something. And well, so,
and then there's a couple of melons and stuff that look like, you know, they have the chicken pox, you know, and stuff. And people just don't want to give them a try. So, because they're ugly.
All fruit and vegetables deserve a chance.
Well, let's see here. Survey show, this is your home state. Arizona is one of the least attractive states for teachers. So you have
Does that mean that the teachers are not attractive looking? Or
I thought that too. Actually, I did think that.
Maybe they just don't get paid as much, or the state. I mean, because Arizona is a
beautiful state. Or the children suck. It's one of those. Yeah, it's one of those. Survey show, more Galaxy 7 or Galaxy Note 7 users want iPhones. Yeah, no kidding. When their phone burst into flames, they decided, oh, I'll get an iPhone this time.
Is that the ones that were bursting
yes,
into flames?
Yes.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, you're going to want something else if your Galaxy Note burst into flames and was recalled.
Well, that and the other phones that are not iPhones, people go, hey, can you help me with this? And I go, nope. Because I don't know what that is. But if you had an iPhone, I can tell you how to post.
And I've never had an iPhone, so I couldn't help you with yours. You know, yeah. That happens all the time. Studies show... you're going to love this. Studies show puberty changes facial recognition.
So all of a sudden, the Facebook is tagging you as your dad?
Yeah, or the zits just cover up your entire, your entire facial recognition. Oh. Yeah, one or the other. Studies show riding roller coasters reduces painful kidney stones. Now, this was done at Disney World, and I read this story, and what it showed was that they took these guys that had kidney stones, and they took them on the roller coasters over and over and over again, and apparently if you go on the roller coasters, it helps you pass your kidney stone. And nobody notices the screaming because you're already screaming. So here's that.
Just going in a roller coaster just makes you forget about anything else because you're so sick.
Studies show chewing gum could actually boost your memory. So I have got 12 packs of gum sitting here. I'm trying.
Good luck.
That's it for Studies Show for September. There's a waste of about $20 million right there.
That is money well spent.
Money well
Way
spent.
To go, people.
Well, what else did we have in the news? Was there anything else?
Were we going to play a song or no?
No, I was going to skip the song today and go right to Victoria.
All right. Well, let's get Victoria on. Work on it. You can talk about Dr. Rose's Remedies.
Well, you know what? Dr. Rose's Remedies is one of our favorite products. I don't care what kind of cut, abrasion, skin funk you have going on. Just use Dr. Rose's Remedies. Everybody should have Dr. Rose's Remedies in your barn and in your house because we use it on ourselves too. I've used it. I don't think you're supposed to. You know, it's one of those things we're not supposed to talk about what we do it. But we use it for scratches. Like when Scooter gets scratches, he has four white feet. And we live in Florida where it's wet all the time. So scratches are a thing. And I spray it on. I got the spray bottle of Dr. Rose's. They used to just have the gel bottles. It was like petroleum jelly. But now you can get the spray bottle and you spray it on. I wipe it in his little ankle, back of his little ankles where he gets scratches. And in a day, they're gone. And now I was diligent about keeping track of those and making sure that we did it all the time. And now I don't have the problem. Now they're just gone. And if I see one pop up, I just spray Dr. Rose's on one day and I don't have to worry about it again. So no matter what the malady you have, whether it's a cut, a bruise, or not a bruise, but a cut or an abrasion of some sort or a skin allergy or whatever it is, you know what else they work really good on, Dr. Rose's? You probably have them there in Arizona's fire ants. fire ants are the worst. And I don't know if your horses get into fire ant nests at all the way you are, because our property's so big, we can't keep track of all the fire ant nests.
I don't have that problem.
Oh, my God. The horse, if you see a horse here, like Scooter or Nigel or one of the landlord's horses, and they are bolting, I mean just running full tilt around the field, it's because they got into a fire ant nest. And they just won't stop because it hurts, you know? And occasionally, if they lay down to roll and they get in a fire ant's nest, those little buggers are so quick. And if you've ever been bit by a fire ant, that thing lasts a week. Doesn't it? It lasts, it itches for a week. And we put Dr. Roses on immediately, and that helps a lot. So it's also good for fire ants, and dogs have problems with fire ants too. So yeah, if you have that issue, then Dr. Rose's Remedies is for good as well. DrRosesRemedies.com. You can find it at most major horse retailers around the country, tack shops, and feed stores. Check it out today. All right, let's get Victoria on here. Let's see if I can round her up over there in England. Talk amongst yourselves.
Calling England. See, I can really speak. You know, the only accent I couldn't do was that Jersey accent.
You had trouble with that.
I need to hang out with some more Jersey girls.
Yeah, I think it's hard for a Georgia girl to do Jersey accent. That's kind of tough.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to try and get her on here. Victoria!
Hi there.
Hi, Victoria. Welcome back. It's been a while.
It has. It's nice to be back.
Well, it's good to have you. Let's make it official, though.
Now it's time for the European Report with Horse and Country TV.
And she is here. I'm so glad to talk to you. I have been dying to talk to somebody about this, and I haven't even told Glenn yet. But
this sounds exciting.
Is Charlotte, like, the coolest person on the planet?
She is. She is very cool. I hear she's been wowing the crowds out in New York.
Well, I mean, this is no big deal to you, but Glenn, what happened is, listen, take her and go. Sorry, my son and trying to get his dog. So Charlotte was in New York over the weekend, and we do know that she hopped on and rode Frederick the Great, the most handsome horse in the world. But then she did, later on in the evening, in the dark, she did a freestyle. She like walked through Central Park in the dark on Blueberry, gets into it, does her How to Train a Dragon freestyle, which is just so amazing, says goodbye, and she goes to walk out. Now, Victoria, I'm sure you've heard of this, what she did.
She invited everyone to come and see him. Is that right?
She walks out and she's going through the tunnel and she realizes how everybody around there wants to pet him. So she just stops and lets everybody that's kind of on the way out come over and they're taking selfies and they're petting him. And there's just, Glenn, there's like people surrounding him, kind of crushing into him. And he just stands there. And then Charlotte's like, okay, I think everybody would like to meet him. So she turns around and goes back into the arena and invites people down from the stadium to come down and basically lay a hand on Blueberry. You know, it was just awesome. And he just was so calm and so cool and collected and just knows people and loves people. It was really, really neat. And I'll post a picture. Do you mind? Do you mind if I post a picture from your horse and hound rival?
Go for it.
Okay. All right. So anyway, I just thought that was neat. What a cool thing. You've seen them in person, right?
Yeah. So I filmed a series called Dressage Superstars with Carl and Charlotte in the run up to the 2012 Olympics. And so we spent 10 days at the yard and filming him all the time. And he's just a normal horse and he's treated as such. And I think that's why he's got such an amazing temperament. And basically all he's really interested in is food. And if you like bribe him, he's quite happy. Charlotte says he's the greediest horse and that he just constantly thinks about his stomach. So
that's great.
Yeah, I can imagine he just wouldn't be fazed. And I think Carl has lots of visitors to the yard in one way or another with like sponsors and lessons. And I think people are welcome to just go up. He's just on the yard open to people that come to visit, like all the other horses. So he's probably used to being stared at and patted. As long as people bring treats, I'm sure he'd be delighted.
See, good tip for those of you that are going to maybe see him someday. Sneak him a piece of candy. He'll follow you home.
Exactly.
That's great. So anyway, what's going on over in Europe?
Well, we're getting ready for Horse of the Year show, which is quite a scary thought because we traditionally think of this as the end of the season show. It's an indoor competition and it means that the season is over for another year. And of course, it doesn't quite work like that anymore because we have show jumping and dressage all year round here. There's no escape. There's no break anymore. And usually Hoy's coincides with the final few events of the season. So it does mean that the eventing season is at an end. But we're excited about Hoy's. We're showing TV coverage of it every night for the first time, so that's quite exciting. And there's some pretty cool riders going, including John and Michael Whittaker, who are fresh out from Rio, so they're among the top competitors competing next week in Birmingham.
Gosh, they're so cool. That's just such a cool family. So you got the Horse of the Year show, you've got the show jumpers. What sports are at the Horse of the Year show? Do they do the indoor eventing there too?
They don't anymore. They have done in the past, but they've got a dressage competition and then lots of national and international show jumping. There's lots of events at Hoy's, like displays as well. So they have things like heavy horses and mounted police and different kind of horsemanship people and the Pony Club games and stuff. So there's lots going on as well as kind of traditional competitions. So it's quite a cool show to be at.
Now, they have the Senior Fox Hunting Championship, too. Do they just release a fox and the hounds in the arena and see how long that lasts, or what?
Fox Hunter was a famous show jumper who was ridden by Harry Llewellyn, if I've got my facts straight, which I think was quite a few days before I was born. And he was a famous show jumper. So it's nothing to do with hunting. They have no foxes, no hounds.
Run!
A show jumping for the up and coming show jumpers in the country. They're young horses. It's where you see lots of the rising stars. So it's a real kind of purist class, and all the show jumpers are desperate to win it because it adds a few zeros onto the end of your horse's value if it wins. No hunting. We have working hunters, which are meant to be horses that you could take out hunting, and they have to jump some crazy rustic fences, but still no hounds and definitely no foxes. So I'm sure, Jamie, you will be pleased to hear that.
Come here, kitty, 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 kitty. Yeah, I'll save you. That's great. That's cool. Glenn and I had talked about this, but we didn't really get into it. But you have written an article about it. So talk to us a little bit more in detail than I could cover about the horses choosing to wear a blanket or not. This has gone crazy viral.
Yes, it's been everywhere, including all the mainstream news sites. And what they were saying was, you know, horses are able to communicate with humans, which I think we've all known. They communicate, like my horse likes to point where she'd like a scratch, and I have to scratch her on certain points, or she'll like shuffle to make me scratch her in the right place. But apparently a group of Norwegian scientists have done this project where they got a group of horses and taught them if they wanted to have a rug on, no rug, or keep their rug situation the same as what they're currently wearing, they had to point to a different symbol. And apparently all the horses got the hang of it, and so it puts them in a classification with, I think, apes and dolphins and pigeons randomly who can communicate using symbols. So there you go.
That's unbelievable. And I mean, they did this not just on a hot day or a cold day. They did it kind of throughout a year, right?
I'm not sure how long the project went on for. I'm always a little bit skeptical of these behavioral projects because, you know, actually to do it properly, I think you'd need thousands of horses in different situations. And I want to know like how temperate it was there, because maybe you guys have got more like level weather, whereas in the UK, you just have no idea what the weather's going to be. And you can wake up in the morning and it's frosty and it's freezing. So you put on your horse's heavyweight rug, and the next minute it's 20 degrees and they're sweating in their field. And so this time of year is notoriously difficult. So I want to know if they would be able to tell the difference between their lightweight, their middleweight, their heavyweight, hood on, hood off, tail flap on, like do they need an under rug, are they dry? I want them to tell us all this, not just whether they want a rug or not. I think they could just master that quite quickly.
Well, I think you should get to work with Rosie and get out there and start teaching her this stuff, and you can go viral too.
Okay, I will try. It's hard enough to teach her prelim dressage, let alone rug language, but I'll give it a go.
Just have her come knock on the window. Hey, mom. And she points to, like, I'm hot now. Let's take this thing off. Or, like, can we drop this down to a sheet? See, you could do it.
The problem is I keep her on a livery yard, so somebody else's yard, and I just pay for her monthly keep. So she'd have to, like, communicate with me from 10 miles away. So maybe I could train her to use a mobile phone.
She time to buy the kid an iPad.
Yeah. Yep.
I just saw a thing where your dog can actually call you now, so you could make it do the horse thing. See?
But it would not surprise me. My dog keeps trying to send. She tried to add somebody on Facebook the other day by walking all over my phone. So I think she's halfway there.
Jeez, that'd be a nightmare. I could see Scooter calling me every 5 minutes. Oh, he'd be just calling and calling and calling. Not just bugging me. I need food. There's a mouse out here. You have to come get it.
I'm still hungry.
It'd be horrible.
I'm more hungry now. Like 20 minutes, I'm starving to death. Oh, man, that's funny. So then you've got I think this is the Dinard Derby.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure how you pronounce Dinard, one of the others. But I love watching derbies. And obviously, I work at Hickstead, where we have a famous derby course. But this one's really cool as well. And their bank isn't as scary as Hickstead's bank. But there's some really bizarre fences, like kind of steps up and a double of uprights where there's just literally a pole and nothing underneath, which must be so difficult to jump. And so it's definitely worth watching. And I love Luca Maria Minetta. I don't know if you guys know much about him, but he came over to the UK a few years ago, and we were just all instantly smitten because he's the nicest guy. And he's a real natural horseman. I think he learned through Pirelli and it was a training his horses that way. And then he was training them to jump. And basically every time they jumped a clear round, they'd get a bit of carrot, and if they didn't jump clear, they wouldn't get carrot. And so they started trying their best to jump clear so that they would get a reward, which is quite an obvious thing to do, but he did it in a very specific way, and was always reliable with it, always had his piece of carrot. And and then he ended up, you know, getting to the top of show jumping. He's been on the Italian team at the World Equestrian Games, and he's just the nicest guy. And he jumps around here with, like, a snaffle and no martingale, and you can just see how happy he is to get a clear round. So the actual class was a while ago, but we've just dug out this clip from our summer schedule, and I think it's definitely worth a watch.
I'm watching it right now. It's nice to see a show jumper. And first of all, show jumping in the grass is always so cool. but nice to see a show jumper who doesn't have, I mean, he's show jumping in a snaffle.
Yeah.
And this derby, I mean, the derbies are so cool. So he's got to, like, gallop straight down this hill, and then there's a little skinny jump. Oh my gosh, it's a two-stride skinny jumps. Wow. Really impressive. So we should post a link to this on our Horses in the Morning page. And you say his name, Luca Maria Minetta?
Almost, Luca Maria Minetta.
He's Italian.
He's got the nicest accent. He is Italian. He's very lovely.
Think sounds better when Victoria says it?
I know.
Did you notice that?
I know.
Scotch Italian.
I want her to talk about her livery yard and putting runs on again.
What do you call a livery yard?
A boarding stable?
Yeah, that's what we call it. And it's always been different. You know, like, you have the lorries over there, and we use boring names like horse trailer. You know.
We say horse box or truck or lorry.
We just call it a truck.
My boarders and I decided that we were going to call all of our trailers now floats, like they do in Australia.
Hey,
so we have milk floats here where you deliver the milk, and so it's got an unfortunate connotation.
Oh my
for
God,
us.
You deliver milk still?
There are still milkmen. I don't have a milkman, but yeah, they are. They still drive around.
Really?
Still having affairs with housewives?
I don't know. I thought that was just in 70s films, but they could do. I think they're up so early. I just am not aware of them.
Are they? Do they still wear the white milkman's uniform?
I don't know about that. I don't know.
I was just looking at your schedule on Horse and Country. We haven't talked about some of the shows. You guys are really branching out in the variety of different shows you have now.
Yeah, we've always sort of tried to have a real variety.
But the Lakes on a Plate? The Lakes on a Plate, first of all, there's a name for a show. I assume it's a food show?
It is, but it's about the Lake District, which is in the north of England. It's a very scenic, beautiful, hilly place with lots of lakes, funnily enough. And so it's a chef that's from there, and he tours around and goes to different places and meets farmers and food producers and stuff like that. So, yeah, we have some cookery shows, including some US ones and Australian ones.
We had a guest on not too long ago that was making her way to South Africa because she was going on the ride, and you have a show called Chasing the Ghost of Harry Smith.
Yeah.
Which is a ride that's 700 or 950 kilometers in South Africa. Wow. I mean, that's right up there with the Mongol Derby, right?
I think those guys, I need to remember because this show premiered a couple of years ago, but I think those guys have done the Mongol Derby as well. And so I think they do a different challenge. So they've done the Harry Smith one and they've done the Mongol Derby one. And I think they did another one in South Africa where they're from. So yeah, they're busy guys. They definitely like riding long distance.
Jeez. And in South Africa, you know, here in Florida, you got a chance of running across an alligator when you go riding, right? But in South Africa, you got every wild animal that wants to eat you.
Exactly.
And your horse.
I'm so jealous of people that have been on riding safaris, though, but I don't think it'll ever happen because my other half doesn't ride. He's never sat on a horse. And despite having several shares in race horses, I've never persuaded him he actually wants to get on board. And so it would be a bit mean if you think we got chased by a lion. I might have a better chance of escaping than he would.
Yeah, you just always have to, it doesn't matter how fast you are, you just have to be faster than the last guy.
So, exactly.
Yeah. But I'm sure that you would lag behind and sacrifice yourself for him.
I would. I'd lag behind and then I'd grab his reins and hold him on the saddle and gallop. So I'd save him and be the heroine of the day at the same time.
There's a movie there. There's a movie there, Jamie.
Yep, absolutely. You lost me a little bit because I started watching the Dinard Derby and I watched this absolutely incredible ride by this guy named Luca. God, I didn't get it. And he went clear, and you could see the groom give the horse the carrot at the end.
Yeah, there you go. Because he jumped clear, so he got a carrot. And I think when it comes to training horses, that's a much more useful thing than asking them what rugs they want to wear. Because it genuinely does work. It's just, you know, it's harder in dressage to come out and be like, yes, we're happy with that one. And so you wait till the judges put your mark up before they get the carrot. It's too complicated. I think it's quite clever. And I think he does it all the time in training as well and literally rewards them. So they start to understand, I jump clear, I get a carrot. And it's really clever. I think you should speak to him one time. You should tweet him on Manetta Jump and see if he'll come on the show because he speaks brilliant English and he's lovely.
Oh my gosh. And he is lovely too. He's
all right, Denise, get on that. Our guest booker, guest wrangler, Denise, Luca
Maria Manetta, and Maria his Twitter Manetta. Is Manetta Jump.
Cool.
Yeah, we need to get him on. That was great. What a cool ride and how he trains his horses with the carrot. That's incredible.
Where did the Derby start?
I think Hamburg was the first one, as far as I know, because Hickstead's founder, because Hickstead's the showground, and after it had opened in 1960, the founder decided he wanted to have a derby to rival the ones that they have in the continent. So there's this famous story where Douglas Bunn, who founded and owned Hickstead, he flew out to Hamburg and measured the height of their derby bank so he could replicate it, apart from it was snowing heavily. So the Hickstead one ended up being 12 inches higher than Hamburg because he didn't account for the snow on top. So there you go. There is a famous story. So Hamburg must have obviously been built before then, so maybe 40s, 50s. And Hickstead came along in 1961. And now that you have obviously Dinard and those two, and La Bull, and several other ones. I love checking out the different fences, but none of them quite compare to Hickstead. I think it's the coolest course of all, but I might be biased.
Do we have a lot of derbies like that with those kind of courses here in the United States, Jamie? I don't think so.
I've seen, like, when I went up to the Hampton Classic in New York, in one of their show jumping rings, they had a grassy hill like this. So there, but I think it was more of just a hunter class. I don't remember it being a derby, but I didn't really pay attention.
I think Spruce Meadows does up in Canada. I think they do, but yeah.
I think there's been a sort of change in fashions as well with derbies, because if you look back kind of 20 or 30 years, you'll see all the big Grand Prix horses competing in the derby as well. And some of the most famous horses of all time have won Hickstead's derby. But in recent years, because you've got like the Global Champions Tour and fences have become so light and fragile, and they're all in an arena. And so if you've got a really top Grand Prix horse, it's jumping that sort of course, and not many of them can then switch to a very sort of varying gradient grassy arena with huge big solid fences that will give quite a clout if you hit them, and like some of them are solid and banks and ditches and all those kind of things. And so now you don't get the same kind of top level horses competing in the derby as you used to. And I think that's the same all across Europe, not just at Hickstead.
That's really cool. Yeah. Oh, very cool. I was just reading, Jennifer said there used to be one at the Kentucky Horse Park, but people stopped using it because it was not popular and it was too scary.
Yeah, there you go.
Wussy Americans. <Yeah.
laughs> But I guess, I mean, it's a bit more common over here to ride on grass arenas. There's a lot of all-weather arenas and showgrounds that are just doing that. But I guess Britain's got a good climate for for grass arenas. And if you guys are kind of got more arid areas, then maybe less grass arenas, so you're not used to jumping big scary fences on grass. So I don't know. I'm making assumptions.
No, that is true. A lot of the jumping arenas, especially over here, are
no
are...
not me. I want to get out there and I just want to shred it in the grass. Put the bigger and the faster the better in slippery grass. That's what I'm doing.
The cool thing about Hickstead is it's an all-weather arena with a grass top. So they dug up the entire 1.5-acre arena a couple of years ago and basically put in all the like groundwork that you would have in an all-weather arena, and then sand. And then they put a layer of earth and turf on it. So it's like an all-weather arena and doesn't get cut up.
You guys get enough rain to do that.
Yeah, it's true.
And you don't get the puddling then either. It just sinks right through.
I mean, that's why they did it, because they'd had some wet shows. And this summer we had a horrendous amount of rain for the first show. And all the lorry parts were really muddy and it was tough going. But the main arena by the end of the week looked like it'd hardly been jumped on. It's really quite cool. And I think that's the same in Dublin as well. I think they've got an all-weather grass arena too.
Now we know what all-weather grass arena means. You learn so much when you come on this show.
Mostly just different ways of pronouncing things.
Well, thank you, Victoria. We really appreciate you being here. It's horseandcountry.tv, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Talk to you next week. Have a great week.
All right. Bye, Victoria.
Bye.
That is so cool. And I have to sometimes think, because she adds ease to the end of it, horse ease, you know, all that. And today she gave us some new ones. And I'm trying to make a list of all the things she puts ease on the end. And I couldn't catch it. It was going too fast today. It was like,
there was like three or four things in a row. Hold on. Let me find the story that made her talk about it.
There were some new ones on the list today, because, you know, horses and we've had a couple of others that are regulars, but I'm trying to.
It was
to
the
make
blanketing speech thing. You'll need to go back and listen.
I'm going to have to listen to the show again, because I would like to come up with the tontes ease of Victoria and write an article about it.
Oh my gosh, that would be awesome.
Victoria's top 10 ease words. And I think, have you ever heard anybody use words like that?
No, but I think it's just because she's Scottish and she's in England and she's, I don't know. I've never heard anybody say things like that, but I'll tell you what, my mama listens every Wednesday if Victoria's on, because she loves listening to Victoria.
Oh, really?
It was actually hilarious. Like, you know how when you have friends that have birthdays and your friends comment on that friend's birthday and you're like, oh yeah, I should, you know, you see that. My mother went on to Victoria's Facebook page and like, happy birthday, Victoria. I missed you this past week. Like, sent this whole message. I'm like, oh God, mom. It's like, she's,
hi, mom,
actually,
by the way.
She knows her. Like, she's like, oh, well, Victoria was really fun today.
She is great. And
she doesn't listen to me.
No.
She only listens to Victoria.
Our families do not listen to us. That's for sure. Yeah. No.
She's like, I feel like I know her. I'm like, you don't. Stop.
We learned a lot about Victoria, though, over the last 5 years.
I know.
Like, her husband does not like to ride. I was going to ask her why she's still with him, but then I thought to myself, well, I don't like to ride either, and Jennifer's still with me, so I better not say that.
I prefer Chad not ride. It's stressful.
See, there you go.
Yeah, we're cool with that.
We had Mary on, Kitzmiller, on yesterday, and she was talking about those. You saw the pictures of her training that horse out in Washington with the horse airborne.
Yeah.
You know, we called it a horse balloon, and... Yeah, I told her yesterday, I said, nobody could ever be married to you because they would just have ulcers. Just crazy. She said that horse was a bit of a challenge, but, you know, after 4 days, she was riding around the ring without a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Patience and consistency. That's what you...
Well, there's a lot of guts involved there to be in a ring with a horse that's doing that. I mean,
yeah, she's got the guts. She's already got that. She's so patient and consistent, though. Like, you know, it's so nice to see.
Oh, that poor little guy sounds terrible.
I know. He's feeling a lot better. He just has residual cold. See, this microphone is picking up the coughing across the room, Glenn.
Ah, got it.
Dang it.
Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us today. Remember, Friday, give us a call, 9:30 to 10:30. And also, remember our first guest on Friday. Okay, what's the name of the show again? Because I always forget it. Heartland.
Our
first guest is the main writer, the original writer for Heartland.
We need to set up a post.
Yeah,
and put it on our Horses in the Morning page. Yeah, because I'm only in season one, and like I don't want to ask a really stupid question in season two.
Part of the conversation is going to be, and I was talking to our guest booker, part of the conversation is going to be, she's not a horse person, so why did they decide to do a show about horses, number one? And apparently she has to do a tremendous amount of research every time they introduce a new sport to the show. So we can talk.
Yeah, because I've really been impressed with...
Is it accurate?
Yes, yeah. It's very accurate. I mean, there's this, it can be silly and it can be whatever. And I get really mad that people jump without helmets and then,
yeah,
like,
but I mean,
all
in the Western
there's
world,
fake whinnies.
Yeah. I
but
mean, they
like,
just do. Yeah. It's probably accurate because they don't in real world life.
Well, she rides in an English saddle and with a cowboy hat and jumps. So there's, I mean, she's.
Have you ever been to Wellington? You'll see that all day long down there.
Really?
Yeah, the jumpers wearing baseball hats or some of them in different kinds of hats or cowboy hats. Yeah, you'll see that down there.
Oh, I thought that was like...
No.
Eventing is just way ahead of its time, I guess.
Yeah,
sit on a horse without a helmet and eventing.
Yeah. So actually, the show, if it's trying to imitate real life, is probably pretty accurate that way. But, you know, it is fascinating to think about the research. Apparently, she does a lot of research, so...
Yeah, I mean, aside from the, you know, the whinnies and the helmet thing, it's really actually pretty...
And they're in their,
accurate.
Like, seventh season. I mean, this has been a long-going show.
Yeah.
It started in Canada, right?
Well, I didn't realize it. It takes place in Canada. I didn't realize how many people watch it that don't talk about it. Because I've just talked about it in the past couple of days. And every single person that is a boarder here or rides with me is even a mother yesterday was like, yeah, I watch Heartland. Like, own it. Be proud. Nobody ever talks about it. And it's like this. And then now I've realized that everybody I know watches it. I'm like the last person to watch this show. I like it.
I want to ask her, was she surprised at the success of a horse show, of a show about horses, basically, and then riders? Was she surprised at the success and that it's gone this long? And I think every writer will say they're always surprised their series goes past 1 or 2 years, right? because they're always expecting it not to, you know, when you're a TV writer.
I have so much to get caught up on. I mean, yeah. I'm so far behind. I just got through Orange is the New Black, and then my next one is Heartland. What is wrong with me?
There's a difference, right?
I know, right?
Has anybody been stabbed, murdered, or made fun of in the shower in Heartland yet?
I'm only about two-thirds of the way through season one, so anything could happen, Glenn. I've got six seasons to go.
You haven't seen a lot of naked shower scenes like Orange is the New Black or tattoos.
Somebody could be shanked. Somebody could be doing drugs.
There were no riots in the prison. Nothing. Yeah.
Well, see, that's what I actually really like about the show is it's not stressful. Like, I know in the end it's all going to work out.
Oh, I get stressed watching Orange is the New Black. You're right. I mean, you do. You're like, oh.
I know. My knuckles hurt. I'm biting my fingernails. This one, I'm just like sitting back, having a beer, going, yeah. Yeah, he's cute. Okay, that's a pretty horse. It's much less stressful.
Well, let's do this on Friday after the interview at 9:30. Let's have callers. Let's have you all call in at 435-272-1997. It'll be on the website. It'll be on the Facebook page. Give us a call on Friday. We would love, love, love to hear from everybody. We will stay and take calls as long as you're calling. So we'll do
make
that.
Make a post, by the way, today with like a picture of Heartland and just ask for listener submission questions. Okay. Because like I don't want to embarrass myself.
All right, we'll do that. I'll definitely do that, and we'll ask her some listener questions as well. And she said if we're nice to her, this is the rumor I hear, if we're nice to her, we'll get the star of the show for Radiothon.
Well, there's a couple stars. I mean, the main girl, obviously.
Yeah, I think that's who they were talking about.
There's some cutie patootie boys in there, too.
So we have to have the girl and a cutie patootie boy.
Well, that's one of the listener questions is like, did she ever hook up with that guy who did that thing? And so I'm going to ask that. I got to know.
All right. That's it. Well, seeing I couldn't find the opening music and play the closing music at the beginning, we'll just start with the opening music.
It's Wednesday.
See everybody.
Today is Wednesday.
He's a very mixed up horse.
Authorization acknowledged.